So we're still on this series. We had this has kind of turned into a three-part. And the first one we were talking about, God's prepared blessings, how he goes ahead of you and prepares all your blessings before you even get to the place where he wants you to get. And then we talked about last week and a little bit about Yom Kippur and the Day of Atonement and how you get your blessings in such a way that we must offer ourselves a sacrifice to God, an offering to God, for us to get to the holiest of holiest of place and to get our blessings in that sense. Amen? And so we talked a little bit about that. And so we've been talking about what you must do and everything to get there. This morning, we're going to talk about the harvest. Amen? Now, we got a couple events coming up. We got a yard sale next Saturday. And we have, what are we calling it? A harvest fest. Okay. On Halloween that we're gonna do. All for the kids and the community and things like that. And so I'm saying these things because it's gonna tie into that. Amen? So I want you guys to go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And if you want to later on, we might go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. But right now we're going to start at Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm feeling good this morning. I probably had too many clothes on. So is it okay if I don't have a suit this morning? Is that okay with you guys? Is that okay with you guys? You guys don't care, huh? You guys are like, we don't even look at you. Deuteronomy 28. We're going to start in verse 1. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give to you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations and the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. I'm reading off the NIV in case your Bible's a little different. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Somebody say amen. The Bible says that if you obey God and do it in his way and his instructions, that you will be blessed. Now, here's his blessings, okay? The blessings for obedience, okay? And he says that you will be blessed in a city and blessed in the country. Now, we used to be a country here. Now we're a city. Verse 4. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and livestock, calves, of your herds and the lambs of your flock. Your basket and your netting through will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemy who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction but flee from you in seven. See, there's a lot of good things going on right here. So God is saying, you will be blessed in the city, you will be blessed in the field, blessed wherever you go, you will be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out, blessed from every single direction. He said, when your enemies come against you, they're going to come against you at one point, but yet they're going to flee away from you faster than they came at you. See, God is taking care of everything in your life. He's taking care of it. Tell your neighbor, he's taking care of it. You don't see it, but he's taking care of it. Here's what I want you to get, though. I want you to say this out loud, okay? I want you to say this out loud. I am blessed. Now, I want you to say it again, but believe it this time. I am blessed. Here's the problem that we have a lot of times. We believe it. We don't believe the blessings of God. We really don't believe it. Now, I want you to ask yourself, before you leave this place, I want you to ask yourself one question. And you could ask yourself and you can answer yourself. You don't have to say this out loud. But ask yourselves, are you putting limitations on how much God can bless you? Because a lot of the times it's our own limitations that we put on God. We say, okay, God, I believe, God, you can do this, but I really don't believe you could do this. I believe, God, that you're going to give me a good word, but I really don't believe that you're going to pay my bills. I believe, God, that you can bless me in my job, but I really don't believe that I can get a better position. See, sometimes God cannot give you anything that you do not believe in. Let's read on, watch. Verse 8. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. Now, let me tell you a little something about this word right here, okay? Every job that I've went into has been blessed. Now, every time that I've went into a certain job, I've told the people, my boss, I told them, I am like a lucky charm. I go, wherever I work, it prospers. Now, there's been two different places that I worked. It started off as a little small company, okay? A little small company. And I've done this twice already. So I know this to be true. And everywhere that I used to work at, it's like God gave me favor, okay? Now, these last two jobs that I've had, they were both trucking jobs. Now, these last two jobs that I had, exactly the same scenario. They started off with three trucks. One was the father that drove one truck and the son that drove the other truck. And then they had a third truck that I drove. And so the very first time, in the first job, it started off that way. And it was a very small company. And I told the guy the same thing. I was like, listen, I can't understand it, but God, wherever I put my work at, God blesses it. That's it right there. Wherever you put your hand out, God is going to call it blessed. Now, here's the difference, okay? Either you believe it or you don't believe it. And I want to challenge you to get to the point where you believe it. Because God cannot do it. We always put restraints on God, on how much God can bless us. Now, this is what happened. I went to work for this place, three trucks, all of a sudden, started working there, okay? They had been doing this for longer than when I came, okay? They've been doing it for a while, and they only had three trucks. All of a sudden, they got more jobs, more job offerings. Then it grew. It grew to a lot of trucks. Now, the second job that I have now, the same exact scenario. And when he called me out, he's like, hey, can you come help me out? I need a worker, I was like, yeah, but it's going to grow, dude. I go, it's going to grow if I come. Started laughing. I'm like, you can laugh if you want to, but there's something about it. Did the same thing. They have 13 trucks now. And a lot of, my job is crazy right now. So pray for me because they have much job than what they have workers. And it's so crazy because now it's getting to the point where they just call me at any certain time and expect me to go in, but it's like, I can't do that. Amen? We put limitations on God, but God is saying, you will be blessed when you go out, you will be blessed when you come in, you will be blessed in the field, blessed in the city, blessed in the country. Amen? Let's read on. Verse 9. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on the oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Now, what do you got to do? What do you have to do? He's telling you right there what you have to do. You have to obey him, keep his commandments, keep his word, right? Walk in his ways, walk closely to him. He's going to direct you, right? And he's going to establish you as his holy people. Verse 10. Then all the people on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, in the young of your livestock, and in the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to you, to your ancestors, to give to you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain in your land and season to be blessed all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You are to be the borrower, you are to be the lender and not the borrower. Amen? That's what the Bible says. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give to you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Let's stop right there. How do we follow other gods? We follow other gods when we put anything above God first. Anything. Doesn't matter what it is. If you're not spending that time with God, if you're not spending that time in the morning, that time during the evening, if you're not giving him praise, if you're not worshiping him, right? If he doesn't come first in your life, then whatever is in your life, that's your God. To some people, it could be money. I worship money, right? They're always talking about in the music videos and in all the TV shows and everything, they're always talking about letting it rain, right? Make money. They're always talking about all these things. And so they're putting money first. They're putting all these things first, whether it's sex, drugs, whatever it might be. If you're putting that before God, that is your God. So God is saying, follow me, put me first, and you will be blessed. Amen? Now, you know, Pastor, there's a lot of people in the Bible that struggled. You know, there's a lot of people in the Bible that maybe they didn't become fully rich or whatever. Yeah? Yeah, there is. But see, we like to talk about the struggle. We always like to talk about the struggle. You know, I was talking to somebody and they told me, when you come to God, you're going to have a lot more struggle. Well, you're going to have a lot more opposition. You're going to have a lot more things trying to stop you from serving your God. You're going to have a lot of things, circumstances, situations come against you to try to get you to stop being close with God. And that is the devil trying to fight you, doing this and that. Oh, no, don't go to church. Don't get your word. Don't get close to God because he isn't real. He's not there for you. He left you, this and that. Now, if you look at the story of Job, that was the same type of thing. He went through all these trials, all these things. Everything was taken away from him. And we like to talk about that. Well, yeah, Job had all these things that he suffered in this. But nobody likes to say how it all ended up. It all ended up with him being blessed abundantly, way beyond than what he had. The story of Joseph. Joseph struggled. They sold him into slavery. He went into prison. He suffered through a season. But at the end of his journey, he died a rich and blessed man. And he gave back to the community, right? He gave back to the world that needed it. God put him in charge. God put him to be the head and not the tail. God put him in charge of the whole land. And he distributed food not only to the people that backstabbed him, right? He helped them out, his own family. God set him on top. And everything that he did was blessed because he was one of God's. So what am I saying? I'm saying, yes, there's going to be a time and a season when your life feels like a roller coaster. There's going to be a time and season where you're going up and down, all twisted around. You're going this way and that way. You don't know what your left from your right is. You don't know what your ups and down is. You have no clue. You're all confused. You're all distraught. You're struggling hard. You barely can breathe because all these things are coming against you. There's going to be a time. But understand this. That, yeah, is a time of that. But there's also a season where you must reap the reward and harvest for all that you have obeyed God for. You cannot have one without the other. But yet we like to talk about the other instead of what God wants to do. And yet we believe in the struggle, but we do not believe in the harvest. Listen, they go together, just like right from wrong, just like sin and God. You can't have one without the other. It's like a washer and dryer. Right? What if you only had a dryer? What if you only had a washer? Right? And what, let's say you only had a dryer and somebody comes up to your house and say, hey, how come you don't have a washer? I don't believe that it exists. I ain't never seen it. And then somebody tells you, look, it's right here. I'll show you a picture. You're like, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. You're making that up. Yet that's what we do. Think about it. That's exactly what we do to other people when they say, listen, I've seen God's harvest. I've been getting blessed by God's harvest. And yet you go, yeah, but it's not me. That's exactly what we do. We're like, I'm supposed to struggle for God. Listen, you can struggle for God. There's going to be a struggle. After the struggle, there must be a harvest. You don't go to the fields and just work and not have a harvest. They go together. I used to work in the fields when I was little. And in the fields, they used to call them the patron, which was the boss, the owner that owned all the fields. He owned all the fields. And then there was a mayordomo, and he was like the supervisor. You didn't go to the boss without going through the supervisor. At your job, there's a supervisor, and then there's the owner, right? Manager, whatever it might be. You're supposed to go through the chain of commands, right? You go, if you have a problem, you go to the supervisor. But now, what would happen if you were work day after day after day after day, but never received a paycheck? I don't believe in paychecks. I'm putting in my work. I don't believe in paychecks, right? That's what we do to God. We don't believe in the paycheck. We don't believe in the harvest. We believe in the laboring. There has to be a harvest. You can't go through the struggle without the harvest. At the end of the journey, there must be a harvest. But when the harvest comes, we're like, oh, no, God, I don't want it. I don't believe it. We must believe it. Now, get this, because I was thinking about that scenario, about the field worker. Jesus, he is the supervisor. God is the owner of this whole world, right? And for us to get to the owner, we must go through Jesus Christ. See? Now, how do you get through the struggle? I'm going to tell you how to get to the struggle so you can get to your harvest. When the struggle comes, when the struggle hits, okay, you have two ways you can deal with it. Two ways. It boils down to two ways, plain and simple. You could either throw a tantrum like a little child and say, oh, well, this is what I'm going. It's just too much. And this, you can either throw a tantrum or you can start praising God. When the struggle hits, you can either, you really show what you're made of. You really show the inside of you when the struggle hits. Right? It's kind of like that roller coaster. When you get on that roller coaster, you're really going to show, right? You get some of these big men and they're all tatted up and they're all buff and stuff, right? And they get in the roller coaster and then it's like, oh yeah, we're gonna do this. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, we got this off. Yeah, I'm strong. Okay. And then they get on the roller coaster and start going up, 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 up. Right? It does that little clicking sign at the end and you're like, ugh. Your heart drops. And then you hit that. And then all of a sudden, these big buff men, they're screaming like a little girl. Ah! Jesus! You really show what you're made of inside. I remember I was at a roller coaster. I went to the Superman, Six Flags. You guys been there? Six Flags Superman? It is crazy. Don't do it. It's like this. It's in a straight line. And it's a door closed. Okay, and you get in it, and you don't know what to expect. If you ain't ever been on it, you don't know what to expect. You get in it, and I remember I went with a friend. We went with the whole church a long time ago when I first got saved. And we sat in it, and my friend, we're like, yeah, let's do this. We're going to do this. It's all good. It's like, yeah, we got this. We ain't scared. We sat down, and then it doesn't give you a warning. Like, it's not like the other roles that gets you. No. This thing, you sit down. I'm still talking to him like, oh, yeah, this is going to be cool, right? I mean, the doors are shut, right? I mean, they don't tell you anything. I'm still talking. I was like, yeah. And the girls in back of us are like, oh, my God. I was like, yeah, whatever. Whatever. Shut up. He's scared. I was like, we got this, huh? And then all of a sudden, it shoots out like crazy. Doesn't give you a warning. Doesn't say, 1, 2, 3, go. Nothing. It just shoots out, and all of a sudden, you're way up at the top, and all I could do was, oh, I didn't even have time to scream or anything. That's how bad. All of a sudden, I'm like, we're going to heaven. It just shoots you straight up, and then the thing stops. There's no more tracks, so it looks like you're just going to shoot straight up into the sky, and I'm like, God, you better catch me, Lord. I'm coming, Father! But, see, I got sidetracked from where I was at. Life is sometimes like a roller coaster, okay? You don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes you feel in a roller coaster you're right side up and you're actually upside down. Sometimes life's going to hit you that way. You're not going to realize that all of a sudden something hits you, whatever it might be, and it's going to hurt. It's going to catch you by surprise. But know this. Like I said, you could either start praising God, because at the end of your trials and tribulation, there is a harvest. There is a blessing prepared for you that God has set aside for you. Or you can stop yourself from getting to the blessing, throw yourself down on the floor,
and throw yourself like a little kid and start throwing a tantrum. God, why? Why this? No, God, I hate you, God. You haven't given me anything. Look what you took away from me. Look what all this happened to me. Right? Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we do. Last night, my baby girl and my wifey, they were at the Walmart. There's only one Walmart. They were at the Walmart, and all of a sudden, my wife called me, and then all I could hear was my kid, little one, and she's throwing up a tantrum. She's crying bloody murder, and my wife's like, here, talk to your child. I'm like, okay. It's like, what's going on, baby? And so she starts telling me that she wanted some popcorn chicken, I guess. Mama wouldn't give her popcorn chicken. I would have gave her the popcorn chicken, to be honest. But Mama didn't want to give her no popcorn chicken. And so, and she's like, I want chicken. I want the chicken. It's like, you want a chicken toy? No, no, popcorn. Okay. I was like, well, baby, if Mama said no, then she said no, right? Now, she just got done eating dinner at home, so she didn't need it. Okay. But it brought me to that, though, that sometimes we believe that this is your blessing. This is mine, God, and I want it. I want it now, right? And God's like, you're not ready. It's still further ahead. Don't worry. I got you, right? But we start throwing a tantrum like a little kid. We throw ourselves down. We're like, God, I don't know. And why you don't bless me? You bless them and this and that, right? First of all, don't be envious of other people's blessings. Rejoice with them. Rejoice when they get blessed. Rejoice when they get healed. A lot of times you're, I'm not getting healed. Well, you're not rejoicing either. Rejoice with them. Your healing is coming. Rejoice with them. Your blessing is coming. Rejoice. God's been healing some people. God's been doing some miracle working things. And we've been seeing them in this church. And we've also seen some people that we helped out and she's a giver. She's a giver. She's always willing to help somebody. And she goes far above and beyond. And so we've had people that come in here, they're looking for help, and we offer them the help, and then all of a sudden they're gone. Guess what? They're just like, oh, well, nobody helps me. God this and God that, whatever. It's like, what? God just blessed you with all this. God got you here. God blessed you with some amazing relationships. You know, you women are amazing. I've been watching you guys. It is amazing what God is doing with our women in this church. Amen. You guys are building those relationships. You guys are helping each other, telling each other, come on, let's do this. Amen. I've been watching that. It's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want you to go somewhere. Go to Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. You guys there? You guys there? You guys there? You guys are kind of quiet today. Verse 35 says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. He said, let me read that again. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful,
but the workers are few. The Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Look around here. Look around to each other. The workers are few. There's only a few of you guys that are here. Now, sometimes we have this place kind of packed. Well, all these chairs, not this whole place. And then there's times where there's only a couple. Now, here's the difference. Sometimes people come here when it's their last resort. And you see them, and they get filled up, right? And then they forget about this place. Later on, they're going to need it again. So we're here. It's all good. We're here. We're here for them. They come back. They get blessed. But God, here's the difference, okay? And I want you guys to get this. God doesn't only want to just give you a little blessing. He wants to fill you up. He wants to get you fat. Tell your neighbor, he wants to get you fat. All plumped up, ready to explode. He wants to pour in the blessings. Why? So they can pour out to other people, so we can help the community, so we can reach out to other people. That's what Joseph did. When God put him in charge of things and when God blessed him abundantly, he went through his struggles, and then there was a time and a season, and then he got to his place where God him in charge of everything. The Bible says that everybody in the world went to him for some food because he stored it up. God blessed his field. Was it just for him? No. It was to help everybody else. So Jesus is saying, look out there. The harvest is plenty. There's a lot of people that need Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that need me, God is saying. There's a lot of people suffering. There's a lot of people helpless. But I only have a few workers that are willing to work, that are not willing to complain, that are willing to do my job, my work. Whatever I tell them to go, they go. Whatever I tell them to do, they do. And guess what? The very few, those are the ones that are going to get truly blessed. Those are the ones that are going to harvest. Now, I'm going to ask you today, what kind of Christian do you want to be? Because you see a lot of Christians, but there's only a few that have the harvest. And that harvest is, God is saying, I could give it to all you guys. The problem is, nobody's listening. Nobody wants to put in work for me. Nobody wants to do the things that I tell them to do. Nobody wants to praise when I tell them to praise. Everybody just wants to complain. Right? Nobody wants to do it. Think about it. There was 12 disciples. 11, right? And out of those 11, the harvest grew. Out of those 11, Christians exploded, amen? Out of just a handful, 11, I guess it would be two handfuls, right? Out of just those little few people, Christianity exploded. Now, he could have picked a bunch of other ones, but they didn't want to follow him. They didn't want to listen to his instructions. They did not want to do it. See, God always gives us instructions on what we must do to get our harvest. He tells us, use your gifts, your talents. Tell us, you know, he tells us,
do things. He tells us to say things. He tells us to pray. Spend time with me. Volunteer. Right? Put in work for me. Right? He tells us all these things that we must do. Bring your offering. Bring it. Be a living sacrifice for me. Spend time with me in prayer, fasting, reading. He tells us exactly how to do it. How to get to your harvest. How to get to your journey. He gives us the tools that we need, right? Whether it's a voice, a talent, a gift, whatever. Use it. Within those talents lies your blessing. He gives us what the tools that we need to get our to our harvest. Exactly. He gives it to us. It is not nothing that you have to make. But the problem is we do not follow his instructions. Now I'm going to tell you one last story. How many of you guys know who Kevin Hart is? You guys know who Kevin Hart is? He's a comedian. Very funny, short little guy. He's on like every movie right now. He was doing an interview and I saw this and at the now he's a billionaire, millionaire, whatever he is. But he was doing this interview and he said that at the beginning of his journey into being a comedian, his mom, man, I'm cutting out big time. His mom told him, "I'm gonna, you know, if this is your dream and this is what you want to do, I'm going to support you in that for 1 year. I'm going to help you out for 1 year. After that, if it doesn't work out, then you got to move on. But I'm going to support you for 1 year." And this is when he was younger. And so for 1 year, the mother said, "Okay, this is all I'm going to do. I will pay your rent. I will give you enough money to survive, okay, for 1 year. So you can go out there and try your dream." So as the months came by, he was late on his rent. He was late on his rent, and he calls up his mom and he's like, "Mom, you know, I need that rent money. I'm gonna get evicted." And she tells him, "Baby, have you read your Bible?" He goes, "No, Mom, I haven't read my Bible. Come on, I just need the money. If I'm going to get evicted, can you please just send me the money?" She's like, "Talk to me when you read your Bible." Hanged up the phone. Later on, he gets his eviction notice. He calls her up again. "Mama, I'm getting kicked out. I need that money, you know." She's like, "Have you read your Bible?" He's like, "Come on, Mom. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to hear that. I just need the money because I'm getting get kicked out. I'm going to be homeless. I don't need to hear that." She's like, "Talk to me when you read your Bible." Hangs up the phone. Later on, he's getting evicted. It's time. It's done. Calls her up again, complaining. Same scenario. She goes, "Just call me back when you read your Bible." He's like, he was mad. He was furious. He was mad. He hangs up the phone. He's like, and then he calms down and he's like, "You know, let me see what she's talking about. I'm going to open up my Bible." That was his last resort. He opens up his Bible. There was checks in his Bible for every month, for the whole year, for his rent in his Bible. That is amazing. It's the same scenario. You want to complain about how miserable your life is or how things aren't working out or how whatever? Listen, open up your Bible. The power and living word of God lies within this. This is his instructions for you to get your blessing. This is his word. This is his power. Open it. Spend time with your Father so you can get your blessings. Amen. Let's stand up. go ahead and just play a little soft something. See, God gives us every single instruction. He tells you, do this, do that. Spend time with me, pray, fast. Go and volunteer. Go do this for the church or go do this. You know, we are not here just to be here. We are here to be a blessing to others. We are here to help others. But first, you must come here and get strengthened with the word of God. So when you go out there, you know how to fight and defeat the enemy. But sometimes we come in here and what we listen to, we don't really take it out there. We leave it here. God gives you instructions and words and he stirs your heart up and he says, this time I want you to do this. This time I want you to sacrifice this. I want you to spend more time with me. I want you to do this. Whatever it is that God is telling you within your heart. It could be something small, like setting up this church. Something as small as that could bless you a big way. Something like just making the coffee, setting up a chair. Those are simple instructions that God gives us. To something like, go and talk to the neighbor, tell them about me. To call up a friend and say, hey, God loves you. To invite somebody to church. To give them a ride because they need to be close with God. Because they need God. Be a servant unto the Lord. Be a worker for God. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. Well, I have faith, God, but you have no works. You have faith in me, but you don't not move when I tell you to move. It's time. The people are ready. Buckeye is ready for the disciples to stand up and say, God, send me. I will go. I will do. I will say. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are you ready for your harvest? Will you labor? It's time that you stand up like a mighty disciple and start praising God, believing that he has total control over your life. It is time. Do not give him just one piece of your life, but give it all to him. Whatever your worries, your troubles, your circumstances, your situations, the lies that the devil has told you, we rebuke that in Jesus' name right now. We call forth your blessings right now in the name of Jesus. We call forth our harvest right now in the name of Jesus. When God calls, answer the phone. When God tells you to come, then come. When God tells you to do, then do. It is time. You want to reap the rewards. It is time. God is getting them ready. It is time. It's time. There's only a short amount of time before Jesus comes back. It is time that we stand up and fight for God. Stop complaining and start praising his holy name. Start speaking into your life saying, my blessings are right around the corner. My harvest is right around the corner. God, I trust in you. I believe in you. I will bless your Lord. In my house, they will bless the Lord. just got it. So ask yourself, are you putting limitations on God? Because he owns the whole world. He controls everything. But if he doesn't control your life, it's because you haven't given it to him. If he doesn't control your situation, it's because you haven't given it to him. You're still holding on to that. You're still holding on to that pain. You're still holding on to those things that hurt you back there. Give it to God. Give him control. It is time. It is time that we stand up for our God. Yes, God. Can we say yes, God? Can we say yes to the Spirit? Yes to him. Yes, God. Yes, God. Dear God, we just want to pray, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. We adore you, Lord God. We bless your holy name, Lord God. Yes, God. Yes, God. If you need prayer, I want you to come forth. If you need prayer, I want you to come forth. Do not be ashamed. Do not be afraid. For God is with you. For each other, let us pray with each other. So as I'm praying for somebody, I want you to pray for them too. Amen. I want you to be in agreement with me. I want you to be in agreement with them for whatever God has for their life. Dear God, we just want to thank you, Lord God. We pray over this church, Lord God. Everybody that didn't come up here, Lord God, we pray upon their life, Lord God, that you begin to give them dreams and visions, Lord God, that you begin to stir up their gifts, Lord God, and that you begin to open up their eyes, Lord God, for them to see what they need to do, Lord God. And Lord God, we pray the blessings and the harvest, Lord God, to come forth, Lord God, for them to receive their blessings, Lord God. We rebuke all the attacks of the enemy upon this church right now in the name of Jesus. We rebuke all the attacks of the enemy upon their lives and upon our lives, Lord God. Right now in the name of Jesus, we put the blood of Jesus upon us, upon our children, upon our household, upon this church, Lord God. Reach your people for you, Lord God. Let us be mighty disciples, Lord God, for you, Lord God. We're just a few, but we're willing to stand for you, Lord God. I thank you for my marriage, Lord God. I thank you for my household, Lord God. And just strengthen me even the more, Lord God, to be the leader that you would have me to be, Lord God. Strengthen me, Lord God. Strengthen my household, Lord God. Strengthen my wife, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the things that you're about to do, Lord God. We call upon forth our harvest. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody give a shout to Jesus Christ. Come on.